Bill Buckmaster along with Bob Dio on the other side of the glass. Bob engineering and producing our show, and together we welcome you to Buckmaster for this first Monday of February, the 4th of February, 2019. Can't believe that my niece Jill, 50 years old today. It just doesn't seem possible. Where have the years gone? It's just hard to believe. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice. We're trusted local news and talk worldwide, live listening at buckmastershow.com. And of course, kvoi.com have our 24-hour podcasts available for you there. You can listen at on your leisure, on your schedule. The live line number for our Monday political face-off, 790-2040 at 1230. We'll be talking with General Wickham, former United States Army Chief of Staff. General Wickham will join us at the 1230 to 1 o'clock hour. But right now it's the Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge, family-owned for decades now. Check out Moe's for all of your framing needs. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Jeff Rogers is here on our Monday political face-off. Jeff, the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, and John Munger, former Republican candidate for governor, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents. Do you agree, gentlemen, that the Super Bowl this year could be renamed the Boring Bowl?
Well, I'd agree with that. I thought the bowl was itself was boring, and I thought the halftime show was boring.
You know, I guess feel like I kind of got cheated out of a few hours of my life there. And if I had it to do over, I might not. I might record it so I could fast forward.
The ads were great, though.
Yeah, they're fun. But what happened to L.A. that, you know, I was expecting along with everybody else? A lot of points.
Well, I think that Belichick had him figured out. Yeah. He seemed to know every time what they were going to do before they did it, and he executed a defensive scheme to stop it. So, you know, how he knew, we'll leave that to our imaginations.
But you can't take it away from the accomplishment of New England. 6 Super Bowls, and I believe, John and Jeff, that ties the Pittsburgh Steelers for the most Super Bowl wins. Anyway, let's get into our Monday political face-off. I have a ton of items. Let's begin with something the president said last week about the possibility that he hasn't ruled out possibility, Jeff, of United States military intervention in a very troubled part of the world, Venezuela.
Well, that would be a huge mistake. I mean, right now, Maduro is very unpopular and is fading in popularity more every day. People are leaving the country. People are going hungry. Politicians and military leaders are starting to peel away from him and support his opponent. We're on the right track to see that government fall. I think a military intervention would in essence politically prop him up. People would blame Americans for once again interfering in a South American or Central American state and trying to install new leadership. And most of the time when we've done that, it's been a failure and led to repressive regimes. So I think that the pressures that we're putting on them are probably appropriate, and we ought to continue that kind of economic pressure, although that economic pressure also hurts the Venezuelan people in that they're not getting money from various international bank accounts and American bank accounts and British bank accounts, as well as not getting food supplies in for their people. So I think continuing the course of action we're on right now is more appropriate than any kind of military intervention. I mean, if he starts firing on his own people, that might change. But right now, we haven't seen that kind of level of violence against his own people.
Should that be off the table, John Munger?
Well, I think any president will say nothing's off the table because nothing should be off the table. You never want to say never. I don't think the president's going to do that unless as Jeff pointed out, Maduro starts firing on his own people. But you know, like anything else, when you have an international event of any significant magnitude, you never say, well, I will never send in troops. It's not off the table, but I don't expect it to happen. nothing's off the table. Why should he take any? Why in the world should he take anything off the table? And there could be events in the future that we haven't seen yet where that would provide a basis for sending in troops, but I don't see it right now.
State of the Union is tomorrow night, correct?
All right.
John and Jeff, some of your thoughts about that while we're talking about foreign affairs. What do you think? Do you think this will be, of course, talking about the wall? We would expect that.
I would expect that, sure.
President will talk about that, but you got to wonder about what other areas in foreign affairs he might bring up. The Korean situation.
He may bring up the Korean situation, certainly the tariff situation with China. He may bring up the fact that the U.S. certainly, and a lot of people don't know this, the U.S. economy is in a much stronger position than any other economy in the world. People don't know that. People don't understand that while the world economy is declining right now, the U.S. economy is picking up and is very strong, and we're certainly the strongest major economy in the world. And so that may be mentioned, but I don't think this is going to be an address mostly about foreign policy. I think it's going to be an address about some kind of barrier. There may be some comments about infrastructure. I think that's something that could be done on a bipartisan basis to create some infrastructure. I would like to see the president also, and I've not liked what I've seen on this issue. While we have the tax cuts have been successful and have increased the amount of business and jobs that are created in this country and have generated equal revenues to what we were bringing in before, and that will only improve in the future. There needs to be some discussion in this country on both sides, both Congress and the president, about cutting spending.
Jeff, what do you think?
Well, my biggest hope, which is actually my biggest fear, is that he will deliver a divisive speech that's basically tilted towards his base of that about 30-35% of the American public. I hope he doesn't do that. This man has been president now for over 2 years, and we've yet to see one time when he's come to bear before the American people and tried to make the case for unity and that we're all in this together and the sacrifices we make are for our country and our future. Everything he does is divisive and throwing red meat to his base, and I just hope he doesn't do that this time. This would be a good time now that we have a divided government for Mr. Trump to learn that sitting back to his left and back of him is going to be Nancy Pelosi, and she holds quite a few cards. Like, for instance, this threat to declare some national emergency.
Right.
She can immediately, if he does that declaration, she can immediately pass something in the House that says that's invalid. The Senate has 36 days, and they must vote on it. They can't dodge the vote, not call it to the floor. Constitutional scholars and attorneys have all agreed that they could vote not to do anything about it, but it has to come to the floor of the Senate. So he has to realize that, and that puts Republicans in a real predicament here, because there are an awful lot of Republicans, including Mitch McConnell, who've said, we don't want you to declare this national emergency, and we don't want to be put in a position to have to vote on it, because there's quite a few people who say to themselves, would I want to give this kind of power to a Democratic president? I mean, harken back to how critical Republicans were of some of Barack Obama's executive actions that he took that they felt were inappropriate and there really more should have been done by Congress. But when he couldn't get them through Congress, he engaged in executive actions. So this is akin to that. And there are a lot of Republicans who don't want to be called hypocrites over this, and they don't want to be put in the untenable position of having to vote on this. So
then without the declaration of a wall, John Munger, we're left with the possibility of another government shutdown.
Oh, I don't think another government shutdown is going to happen. I don't think that's in the cards
at all.
You think
that's definitely
kind of off? That's not going to happen. I think that the issue, I mean, Nancy Pelosi can pass all the resolutions she wants, but it's not binding, and because the Senate isn't going to do that. They're either going to say, no, we support the president, or they're going to say, no, we don't take a position on that. But those are non-binding resolutions, and the issue is going to be that if he uses his emergency powers, the issue is going to be whether he can convince the courts that there's an emergency. Now, what the Dems will do, of course, is they'll file suit in some very liberal federal district with a very liberal federal judge, and they'll take it up to the very liberal Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And the question is whether and when the Supreme Court will deal with the issue. And it's going to be largely...
I think it has to be filed in Washington, D.C., in the Court of Appeals that handles these kind of governmental
matters. And you may be right, Jeff. It may be.
And that's a very closely divided circuit.
That's true. And so I think it's going to be primarily a legal issue, Bill. And I think that it's a matter of whether the courts can be convinced that there is a genuine national emergency.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It's 10:30. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It's the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open now for a great lunch. I guarantee it. My wife and I were up there yesterday for lunch. That hot turkey on the rustic bread, just go in and say you want the Buckmaster special. Steve and the team will know what you're talking about. Mona's Danish Bakery. Some exciting news is going to be coming up in the coming weeks about Mona's. Can't let the information out yet, but some excitement is around the corner. Again, Mona's, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, monasdanishbakery.com, or on my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link not only to Mona's, but all of our great partners. We'll be right back on 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
It's our Monday political face-off. Today's team of commentators, Jeff Rogers and John Munger, the Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Jeff and John, Howard Schultz.
Howard Schultz
is running, it looks like, perhaps as a third party candidate. Peggy Noonan, writing in the Wall Street Journal, says he's a neophyte who's not a natural, a novice without magnetism. I don't see his constituency. What do you think, Jeff Rogers?
Well, I would agree with Peggy Noonan. He is a neophyte. And I don't think being a successful businessman translates naturally into being a successful governor or president or senator, particularly in the executive branch, you know, where you have to bring sides together. You don't get to just, as a CEO, you know, order policies and say, this is what we're going to do. I think we're learning from some of Trump's failures what the difference between being a CEO and being the leader of this great nation is and how difficult it is. Many Democrats were outraged, and he's been viciously attacked since he made this announcement by Democrats because they perceive him as somebody who will pull mostly Democrat votes away from the Democratic candidate and could swing several states in favor of Trump. And this election is coming up in 2020 is, after all, about beating Trump no matter what. And so anything which gets in the way of that or lessens the chance of doing that is something that disturbs Democrats greatly. I also think that as we were talking off air, that if you're going to have someone come in as a centrist who's going to pull independents and then pull moderate Democrats and moderate Republicans together for a grand coalition, it's going to have to be somebody who's very charismatic, who can, you know, really motivate voters a lot. And I don't think he's the guy. I mean, having seen him speak several times, you know, he's just kind of, well, as Peggy Noonan said, a neophyte. I don't see him moving the compass in his favor, but I'm hopeful that all this negative reaction he's got to his candidacy will cause him to withdraw.
John, could he take Republican votes away?
Oh, absolutely. He could take Republicans votes and independent votes. There are a lot of anti-Trumpers out there that might be intrigued by him. I don't think it's all bad news for the Democratic Party. I agree with Jeff. It will be mostly Democratic, moderate Democratic votes that he'll take away. But there will be some Republican votes lost, and certainly independents. That's unpredictable. I don't know whether Howard Schultz can generate the charisma that Jeff has talked about, and that is important. But his policies are going to be attractive to a lot of people, and he's got plenty of money to get his policies across, to do what he needs to do to be made known and to make himself attractive to the public. I would not write him off just based on charisma. He may be plenty smart guy who can adapt to that. It is not always natural for a business person to become a politician, but it's not impossible either. And we have a lot of Democratic governors and Republican governors who have been business people and nothing but business people, who are our own governor, for example, who have been able to come directly out of the private sector and run for executive office. So
yeah,
Doug
Ducey with the Stone Cold Creamery.
Oh, yeah. You've got a number. Mike Leavitt, who is the past governor of Utah. I mean, you could just go one after another. Look at Arnold Schwarzenegger. There's a lot of people out there who have come directly out of the private sector and been very successful in running for executive office. So I think Peggy Noonan her analysis does not translate for me.
Jeff, what about Schultz? Where is he from? His background and
I'm
his
not sure
business.
Where he started.
His former
but what he did was
head
he,
of Starbucks.
Yeah, he came into
creator
Seattle.
Creator of Starbucks.
Well, not really. He came into Seattle and as a young business entrepreneur and saw the Starbucks model. And I believe there was only one when he started it out in Seattle.
Kind of like McDonald's in suburban Chicago.
Yes, he bought that Starbucks in Seattle, and he literally took them worldwide. They're everywhere now.
That's a pretty
good entrepreneur to build that kind of something out of just one store.
I want to add, I do know something about his background. I mean, he was very poor when he grew up. Understand it, he lived in the projects in Brooklyn. And this guy is truly a self-made man. Coming from literally nowhere and building.
His father was disabled, and John's right, he did live in public housing.
Yeah, in Brooklyn. And so this guy is not somebody who was born with a gold or silver spoon in his mouth by any means. And he's very, very smart. And I think he's capable of generating the kind of policies that will be attractive to a middle group. I think he's able to make himself known across the country. He's got plenty of money. And I must tell you that people can learn to be charismatic. That's not impossible to do. You get some good people on board your campaign who tell you how to speak and how to talk about things. A smart guy like that can learn. I would not write him off, and I think Peggy Noonan's virtual write-off is not on point.
Hmm. Senator Harris is off to a good start. She had that town hall meeting in Iowa and got pretty high marks. In fact, even President Trump said that she would be a formidable candidate, Jeff Rogers.
Well, she, on the other hand, is very charismatic, very attractive, very smart, and one of the last people I would ever support for that position.
Because of her prosecution record, right, in the city of San Francisco?
Her history in the criminal justice area is awful.
Yeah.
She backed prosecutions that in which horrible misconduct were committed by prosecutors. There's even a famous case where Judge Kaczynski in the Ninth Circuit was ordering her appellate lawyers when she was the Attorney General to take this case back to her because you're not going to like the opinion we write if we write an opinion. You better take this back to her and get it dismissed because there was egregious misconduct. And you rarely see an appellate court
I've never seen that.
That transcript, and it's shocking. And it's just one of many cases where she refused to recognize the fact that particularly in certain counties, enormous misconduct was being committed on a daily basis by prosecutors, and innocent people were getting convicted. Or people were getting convicted who might have been innocent, might have been guilty, but the misconduct was what drove the charges, and many of these cases were reversed. And she showed no willingness to own up to this and is getting criticized in a lot of quarters for her criminal. I mean, we're in a situation where one of the few things Democrats and Republicans can agree about right now is that we're in need of criminal justice reform.
Right. Right.
At the state level and at the federal level, and we've accomplished some of it.
And then here we have someone, a candidate whose area whose expertise in that area is a bit questioned.
A bit wanting.
Yeah, I think she's a skyrocket. It looks good when you shoot it up off the ground, then it flames out. I agree with Jeff that she is on her face an attractive and articulate and charismatic candidate, but she's catching too much flack from Democratic regulars like Jeff, who just don't buy into her past history. I don't see her lasting very long. I think it's going to be somebody else. I think The smart guy out there is Joe Biden. Joe Biden is the one that I fear the most. He is a retail politician. He's got his foibles and he's got his problems, but he stood the test of time within the Democratic Party. He's more moderate. He's still a liberal, but he's more moderate than many of the other Democrats. And I think that, to me, that's the candidate that has staying power in the Democratic Party.
Okay, we're going to have to wrap it up. Final comment on that, Jeff?
Sherrod Brown, Amy Klobuchar. That's the ticket that can win and win big.
Okay. Jeff Rogers and John Munger on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Gentlemen, hope you both have a great week. Thanks.
You too.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Check out Moe's for all of your framing needs, moesgallery.com, and stop by and say hello. The family's been in business a long time. I was just by there Saturday. They're doing very well, and they'd love to handle your framing needs as well. We'll be right back with General Wickham.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Moe at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Hansen, and we are excited to announce that our annual Travel Showcase has a new location, new presentations, and exciting new offers. Sunday, February 24th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador, we'll have over 40 travel representatives offering a presentation and your chance to learn about where they go, who they are, and their exciting offers. I will also be presenting an unfiltered look at travel topics, so you do not want to miss the 2019 Travel Showcase from Bon Voyage.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. It is the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Zocalo, an extraordinary collection of Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, handmade furniture, lighting, home accessories, and gifts, plus 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. It's at Green Things, Zocalo, Casa and Garden at Green Things, Green Things in business since 1970. Open daily, 3384 East River Road. Go to greenthingsaz.com for more. Once a month, we are honored to welcome one of our great contributors, one of two dozen contributors that I am so proud of these people that they've been with us pretty much since day one, which was over 8 full years ago. We're in our 9th year, and he is General John Wickham. What a fantastic person, contributor on military and foreign affairs for the Buckmaster Show. General Wickham was the U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987, Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served over 40 years in the United States Army. He's retired now in Oro Valley, and he joins us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. General, how are you?
Doing fine, Bill. Wonderful to be on your great program. You do such great work.
Well, thank you very much. I noticed on the news today that President Trump will be asking for 3 new Joint Chiefs of Staff. We're 2 years in to his term. Is that a bit unusual, or how does that normally work, that progression, General Wickham, since you sat in one of those seats?
Yeah, I was Army Chief and member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. It is a little unusual, although actually you're appointed, if you're going to the service chief, head of the Air Force, Army, or Navy, or Marine Corps, is normally a 4-year appointment. So you'd be on the Joint Chiefs of Staff for 4 years. Now, it may be that the timing of all of this is causing it to be adjustment, but the chairman is normally 2 years, and then it can be reappointed, but frequently it's only 2.
How were you notified? I'm just curious how that whole process, General Wickham, worked. Did somebody call you? Did they go through back channels? How did that process work that you wound up in the top position in the United States Army?
That's a good question. I was a commander in chief in Korea, and one of the Secretary Marsh, Secretary of the Army Marsh's assistants, came over to see me and checking me out, I think. And Cap Weinberger was the Secretary of Defense. I got to know him because of what was going on in Korea with the coup. And so they went to some discussion. There probably were 3 or 4 contenders to be head of the Army, and they nominated me to be head of the Army. And the nomination went to the Senate, and it was approved by the Senate, obviously. So, you're hear about it by email.
Yeah, nowadays, I guess you hear about it by email. General John Wickham on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk, 790-2040. If there's something that you would like to contribute to the program with a comment or a question for the general, he would be delighted to take that. Well, North Korea, another summit is planned for President Trump and for the premier, Kim. Probably you're saying, General Wickham, in Vietnam. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, that's what my guess is, Vietnam, because I think Kim Jong-un is making a trip there, so it would coincide with that. And Vietnam is a friend and ally of North Korea. Now, you remember the Joint Chiefs of Staff, or not Joint Chiefs, but the intelligence chiefs, just testified before Congress the past week, and they indicated in their conclusion their belief that North Korea would not give up the nuclear arsenal, something that you and I have been talking about on your wonderful program for some period of time, despite what President Trump says, oh, they're going to give it up, or they've already given it up. Baloney. They haven't. And if I were a North Korean, I wouldn't give it up either, because it is a guarantee of my independence as a nation. And Kim Il-sung, the founder of North Korea, as I mentioned on your program, during the Korean War, was overheard saying publicly, "We're losing this war because we don't have nuclear weapons, and we're going to get them." And of course they do. And they've got an arsenal probably of 40 nuclear weapons, and the makings of maybe 40 more. And once you get a nuclear arsenal the way North Korea has, you don't need to test them anymore. You don't need to build anymore. You already are an arsenal, and you're already a nuclear power. So if we see North Korea sort of not in the news by doing things like that, it's because they are an arsenal, so a nuclear power. So I don't see that they're going to give it up. But there's going to be a summit, and maybe something will come of it. Maybe the North Koreans will be willing to extensive nuclear inspections, willing to re-sign the non-proliferation treaty, which they did sign once. That would be good. All of that would lead to more awareness that North Korea can be trusted, but I don't see much of it coming out of the summit.
790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. General Wickham is with us on the live line. During the second summit, some experts are saying, General Wickham, that North Korea will likely seek to trade the destruction of its main nuclear complex for a U.S. promise to formally declare the end of the 1950 to 1953 Korean War. Do you think that's a possibility?
I don't think giving up their weapons is a possibility, but I do think that the North Koreans will pursue cessation of the war, and they will also pursue withdrawal of U.S. forces from South Korea, and they will seek to have formally agreement by the United States not to deploy any nuclear weapons in that part of the world on ships or airplanes. And I don't think the United States will agree to anything like that. But the North Koreans will pursue that in order to guarantee their independence. The Japanese would like that too, but I don't see that that's going to happen.
How about allowing the North to pursue some lucrative economic projects with South Korea? Could there be some economic benefits there?
Amen. We, as you know, there was a joint program north of Pyongyang where the South Koreans went up there every day to work in a little factory making joint things with North Koreans. And that's been suspended temporarily. But that could be redone, and I think that's going to happen.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. When we come back, a caller who did not want to go on the air, but a couple of questions, the most rewarding thing in General Wickham's long career and the most frightening event or thing in his career, the general will answer those questions for our listener when we come back on Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk, the Monday edition of The Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
It's our Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show, presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Their website is a great starting place if you are planning a trip over there, and I certainly hope you are. It's only a three-hour drive, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. That's the great starter kit for you before you take a trip over to one of the very pretty areas, one of the most beautiful areas of the Southwest, Silver City, at about a mile high elevation. The Gila National Wilderness is there. Lots to do. So it's just a great opportunity. I am just so blessed, so fortunate to have sponsors that places that I believe in, the work that's done at Silver City, the work that's done at Green Things, all of our great sponsors, all of our partners. You can find, they're all listed at buckmastershow.com. What a great team, as we now are broadcasting in our ninth year already here on the radio. General John Wickham joins us usually the first Monday of the new month. General Wickham, there was a pretty much full page, I'm sure you saw it, editorial in the New York Times today, and it simply put, end the war in Afghanistan. For more than 17 years, this conflict has been going on. More American guns, bombs, and boots haven't brought victory in Afghanistan any closer. That is the conclusion, General Wickham, of this editorial.
I agree with that. And here we are, we're struggling still. How are we going to deal with that issue? Now, we are meeting with the Taliban, and it appears that the Taliban are willing to negotiate some solution. They do not want to sit down with the government officials, but they will sit down with us. And I think we're working with the Indians and with the Pakistani leaders also, and with the Chinese leaders, to work out a solution where we can all participate and help pay the cost of dealing with a unified Afghanistan. So I'm optimistic that something is going to transpire, a ceasefire, an ending of the civil war.
Yeah, it's been a civil war, and there are areas 60 to 70% of the country that the American troops over there don't even go into, that the Taliban controls. It's a very, very dangerous place for American troops. 790-2040 for questions for General Wickham. One of the questions that came in, General Wickham, from a listener who did not want to go on the air, but Bob Dio, my great producer, put this up on my screen. General Wickham, what's the most rewarding thing that you experienced in your over 40 years in the United States Army?
Well, the most important thing in my my life was finding my life partner, Anne. We've been married almost 64 years.
Wow.
To help build a family, a quality family, and she would help me recover from near fatal wounds in Vietnam. So that was the most rewarding thing in my life and continues to be now.
What about the most frightening event or thing in your career, General Wickham?
The most frightening thing, and hard for most people to understand it, I was in a foxhole in Vietnam, having been very seriously wounded, and then gunfire aimed at me, and I took three bursts of an AK-47, and realization, at least, that my life was over. And the pain and grief, I felt I was a failure as a battalion commander. And so that was a terrible, terrible feeling. But said the Lord's Prayer and asked for help to save the battalion through the night and take care of my family after I'm gone. And believe it or not, no more terror, no more fear. And I was able in 3 hours to survive, and we did beat the Viet Cong. We did save the battalion. So that was the most terrifying experience. I have that experience almost every day.
Wow. And I know that story, some of the details, and I know you were the last one to be medevaced out. And then when you came home severely injured, being spit on, in when you're wearing your uniform, spit on, a man who had just survived doing his duty, that must have been just a horrible experience for you.
It was, Bill. In Grand Central Station, a well-dressed, middle-aged woman came right up to me within inches of my face, spit in my face, and called me some of the foulest words that you have ever heard. And other Vietnam veterans had the same experience. And as a result, many Vietnam veterans never wore the uniform for fear of that. That doesn't exist today, but it could come back. And it did exist in the Vietnam period.
Well, while we're talking about veterans, what is this talk? What's the latest on privatization of the Veterans Administration?
Well, the Trump administration is pursuing from its base much more corporate support. If we can turn over what's going on in the government back to industry and get corporate profits up, that's going to improve the base of the Republican Party. And so privatization of veterans care, turning veterans back to the private market, out of the VA, shutting down the VA. That's what the Trump administration and the GOP seek to do. I think it's wrong. The VA does know how to care for veterans, so I think it would be a tragic mistake to do that. But that's where it's coming from, and it's coming from people that don't understand what veterans go through. And so to say, well, we're going to take advantage of you veterans and we're going to kick you back to the marketplace and let you suffer through that so that we can harvest those funds and pay corporate profits, I just don't think that's fair to veterans or to American history.
I know you've spent a lot of time at our VA here talking with patients. Are they generally happy with the care they get?
Yes, the VA center here is one of the best in the United States. Thanks to the leadership in the VA there, believe it or not, one of the leaders of the VA in Tucson was a Mormon bishop. He didn't talk about his faith, his LDS faith, but he was committed to improving the quality. He went back to Washington every month to get more funds. And number two, Gabby Giffords, a dear friend, wonderful congresswoman, member of the VA committee as well as the Armed Services Committee. She made sure that there were plenty of funds coming to this center. And as a result, the VA center in Tucson is one of the best in the United States. So it's an illustration that quality leadership can make the VA centers around the nation function. One of the interesting features about what's going on now, there is a VA medical center up here in Oro Valley, and that's grown out of the need to broaden access to the veterans, not just one big facility, but local facilities, although most of these local facilities are for combat veterans, not just general veterans. But it's an illustration of growth with the VA medical system, and I'm a big supporter of the VA medical system.
Let's see if we can work a very quick question in from Ingrid. Go ahead, Ingrid. You're with General Wickham.
Hello, Ingrid.
Hello. What about all the miserable, horrible errors that are going on in the offices where the veterans are supposed to be having their records kept and getting treatment in hospitals? What about that? We need to address that. Maybe that's clerical, the reason they want to privatize it.
Clerical errors. Go ahead, General Wickham.
Ingrid, good question. I think some of that is inflated commentary. My experience, I don't use the VA system. I do go down and talk to veterans and families, and every time I've done that, I've gotten nothing but praise for the VA system. No criticism. I've talked to Marine veterans down at the center here, and there's some misunderstanding of how you get access to the VA system. For example, years ago, I went down and said, I talked to people down there about checking out my eligibility for disability based on exposure to Agent Orange. And I said, let's check it out. And they jumped at that, and they did. And golly days, within a matter of a week, I had an answer back from Phoenix about my eligibility. So it does work. So I think some of that, Ingrid, is, inflated commentary. My experience in talking to patients and families, I've not heard negative things about it. But now one interesting thing is, you know, recently we're letting veterans that are outside of a certain distance of VA medical centers get help from private doctors, and that the government will pay for that, like Medicare. So that's a good move. We need to broaden that capability.
One of our listeners asked about decorations, and my great producer, Bob Dio, just pulled this up on the screen. General Wickham has been decorated. There must be two dozen or so decorations, including the Silver Star, of course, Purple Heart, but on and on it goes. And General Wickham, on behalf of all of us, we thank you so much for your service. In a really great career, and you continue to do wonderful public service in our community, and you keep yourself fit. For a 90-year-old man, my goodness, out on the bicycle, do you do what? How many miles a day?
Every day I do 2 miles or more.
Wow.
It's good. Well, just riding around in the beautiful scenery here and communing with the good Lord in prayer and thinking good thoughts, about life. And incidentally, as you know, Bill, I've written a couple of hundred poems.
Yes, I have.
Mostly good news, yeah. And they're about to be published in a book.
Well, we'll certainly want to share some of those poems as soon as they're published. I can't wait to see the book and share with our listeners about it. General Wickham, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for a great session, as always. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you for your wonderful program, Bill. You're a dedicated patriot.
Thank you very much. General John Wickham with us on The Buckmaster Show. Coming up next, his name is Steve Rivera, one of the most respected sports guys in town, and he does Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of my great engineer producer, Bob Dio, we hope you have a great afternoon and evening. Back with you at 12:04 on 1030 The Voice.